Ta, ta, look what I got. Look what I got on the prina. I got 110. No one in my class got 110 except me. No one in the whole yeshiva got 110 except me. Well, I'll bet no one in the whole Borough Park, Williamsburg, or Flappers could have gotten 110 on this for hair, on this test, except me. My Rebbe said that this is the greatest. He said I'm a genius. He asked such hard questions, especially the extra credit.
I see.
You see? Aren't you happy for me? Aren't you excited about this mark?
I'm excited about the mark, but I'm not so excited about something else.
What?
Oh, never mind. By the way, Mashallah, Shimi called. He asked if you can learn tonight at 8 o'clock.
The next time Shimi calls, it's a little bit hard for me to say, Ta, would you mind telling him that?
Telling him what?
That I'm not really interested in learning with him anymore.
Why not? Shimi's such a fine boy. I'm so happy he's your friend. He's so erlich. He has such a Yiddish tzura, so fine. Comes from such a wonderful, wonderful family. Why, I see the way he talks to his friends. I see the way he talks to his parents. He's a true Ben Torah. Why don't you want to learn with Shimi anymore?
Ta, I don't know how to say it, but... Well, Shimi is not exactly from the smartest kids in class. And I just feel that I'm not getting anything out of learning with him. I mean, I chap to Tysus. I catch it right away. And Shimi got to hear it like 3 times, 4 times. I could be like 4 pages ahead by the time Shimi catches up. It's a waste of time for me. I'm really not interested in learning with him anymore.
Mashallah, I think you should continue learning with Shimi.
When I learn with Shimi, Shimi gains, but I don't gain.
Maybe it's the other way around.
Why? I'm like 10 times as smart as Shimi is.
Mashallah, I want you to stay here for a few moments and I want to share a story with you.
Okay, Ta.
Let's go back to the town of Peshburg about 200 years ago. Do you know who the Rav of Peshburg was?
Of course, the Heilig Chassam Sofer. My Rebbe spoke out of Chassam Sofer and I was the only one who understood it.
I see. Do you know who the tailor of Peshburg was?
The tailor? How am I supposed to know who the tailor of Peshburg was?
His name was Mechel. For many, many years, he wasn't zeichet to a child until HaKadosh Baruch Hu benched him with a wonderful, wonderful son. The baby was born a few weeks before Purim. However, they couldn't make the bris until Purim.
Why not?
Baby was yellow, not ready for the bris yet. A day before the bris, the Chassam Sofer himself came to look at the child.
Was the Chassam Sofer a mohel?
Yes, he was.
I think that the baby is ready for the bris. Reb Mechel, the bris will be tomorrow.
Reb, on Purim, what a great schus! And you will be the mohel, Rebbe?
Yes, for me too, it is a great schia.
I tell you, everybody came to the bris. I mean, it was Purim, everyone was in the besmedrish anyhow. But something strange happened.
What happened strange, Dad? And by the way, Ta, what did they name the baby?
They named the baby Baruch Mordechai.
That makes sense. After all, the bris was on Purim. And it says, you're supposed to drink on Purim, Adela Yada ben Arur Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. It's a good thing I didn't name him Arur Haman.
Yes, my son, good thing. But listen carefully to the story. You know that part of the bris, part of the menhagim of the bris is that you're supposed to put some wine into the baby's mouth.
Right. And that's when you say that he should live by his blood.
Well, the Chassam Sofer, in addition to that, added something else. By the bris, he said, Nichnas yayin yotza soid.
When the wine comes in, the secrets come out. But why did he say that?
That's what everybody wanted to know.
What did the Rav think? What did the Rav say? Nichnas yayin yotza soid. What did the Rav mean? That doesn't make sense.
Reb Michal himself came to the Chassam Sofer and said,
Rebbe, what did that mean? Nichnas yayin yotza soid. What did you mean to say about my baby Baruch Matcha?
The time will come, and you will find out. For now, afreilich in Purim, Rabbi Isai, and you should have a lot of nachas.
Ta, I know what you're going to say next. Baruch Matcha grew up to be this phenomenal Talmud Chacham.
Hold on, my son. Baruch Matcha was phenomenal, but I wouldn't say a Talmud Chacham. Baruch Matcha had a heart of gold, hands of steel, lovely, wonderful person. Unfortunately, he had a head of rocks. Nothing went into his head. He understood nothing.
Okay, Kinderlach. Alle zusammen. Kommt Aleph, right ah. Kommt Beis, ba. Kommt Gimel, Bergmatra. Kommt Gimel. Goo? Gee? Cuckoo? Cuckoo? I'm cuckoo! Kinderlach, stop laughing. Stop laughing.
Poor Baruch Mordechai repeated Pri-1A like 3 or 4 times, and he still didn't know any Ivra.
Did they finally promote him to first grade?
Not because they wanted to, they had no choice.
I'll bet he didn't fit into the seat anymore.
There was even a bigger problem. One day he got into those seats in Pri-1A and he couldn't get out of it.
Look at that boy walking down the street, wearing a seat. Why doesn't he get out of it?
I think he's too big.
Everybody must have really been laughing at him.
You know something? Baruch Matcha was a type who didn't care. Baruch Hashem, he made it to first grade, second grade, third grade. But he really didn't understand. He really understood nothing.
There are really some kids in my class that way, so I sort of know what the feeling is like.
But Baruch Matcha had a wonderful, wonderful heart. A heart of gold. He used his tremendous power and strength to help people.
How did he help people, Ta?
Well, it was like the day that Moshele the wagon driver got stuck in the mud.
Gevalt, I'm stuck. I'm sinking in the mud. Rabbi, please come and help me.
In a second, a whole crowd gathered.
We gotta help Moshele. He's stuck in the mud. Okay, all 50 of us. 1, 2, 3, push, 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 more, push, push, 1, 2, 1, 4, 5. Thank you very much. You won't push me like a foot deeper into the mud. We're sinking.
We're all stuck.
We must be in quicksand. Help!
Help!
Help, help! Assistance! Help! Here comes Baruch Mordechai!
Don't worry. I'm coming. I'm coming. Okay. Just hold on to the wagon. 1, 2, 3.
Can you please put us down, Baruch Mordechai? I'm a little bit scared of heights. Can you put down the wagon and the horses, please? It's a little scary.
It's better than sinking in. Where should I put down the wagon and the horses?
How's about on the dry part of the road, Baruch Mordechai? Thank you.
And can you imagine if he would have lifted us with both of his hands, how high he could have lifted us?
While Baruch Mordechai was known for his tremendous strength, unfortunately he was equally as known for his inability to learn. He would come to the Beis HaMedrash and he would sway back and forth in front of a Gemara. Only because he loved the words of Torah. But unfortunately, he understood next to nothing. One day, the Donbei River overflowed. It was a big problem. No one can get to the Beis Medrash. When Nechsam Sofer arrived, he seemed very concerned.
How am I going to cross over to the Beis Medrash? Here comes Baruch Mordechai.
Rebbe, Rebbe, I'll help you, I'll help you.
Are you going to get a ship?
No, I don't need a ship, Rebbe. I'll just pick you up.
Baruch Mordechai, but your feet are getting wet. Baruch Mordechai, the water's up to your knees, to your stomach. The water's up almost to your nose.
If Nachshon ben Aminadab was able to do it, Rebbe, so can I. Here you are on the other side.
Baruch Mordechai, you're dripping wet.
It's okay. Every year I wash my clothes, so I did it today.
Baruch Mordechai, what can I bench you with? You did me such a favor carrying me over the water to the Beis HaMedrash. What can I bench you with? Tell me, what can I give you a bracha for?
Rebbe, can you give me a blessing that I should not be conceited? Can you give me a bracha that I should not be a balgaiva?
The Chasam Sofer looked into Baruch Mordechai's eyes, long and hard, and he said,
yes, my child, I give you that bracha.
But father, why did he need a bracha that he shouldn't be a balgaiva?
My son, you asked the same question. the people of the town asked.
He heard Baruch Matre. Out of all things to ask, he asks that he shouldn't be a Balgaiva. I think it's a little farrector, shouldn't be a Balgaiva.
If I was Baruch Matre, I would have asked for $1 million.
Yeah, I would have asked for $2 million.
If I was Baruch Mordechai, I would have asked for a little brains.
Why would he be a Balgaiva anyway? He has nothing to be a Balgaiva about.
The next day, Baruch Mordechai was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, swaying back and forth in front of a Brachas Gemara. A couple of pranksters came in and they decided they were going to play a trick on him. When Baruch Mordechai walked out, they said to each other,
"So, he wants a blessing, he shouldn't be a Balgaiva, huh? We'll show him. Get the Gemara off the table. We'll switch it to a different Masechta. Let's hide behind the bench and see what happens when he comes back."
Okay, let me just continue learning now. Zakta Heilige Gemara weiter. Let me see where I was up to.
Say, Baruch Mordechai, are you continuing from where you were learning before?
Oh, yes, sure. Sure, I'm continuing from here. That's where I was holding before.
We switched the Gemara on you. It's not even the same Gemara. You don't even realize it.
Why is everyone laughing at me? Stop it! Stop it!
Good thing that the Shamus walked in right there and then.
This is their heads! This is their heads! That's what you do to someone like this, sitting by a Gemara all day, and trying to make fun of him!
He's not sitting by one Gemara, he's sitting by two Gemaras. He just doesn't know the difference between one and another.
A host in the Beis HaMedrash! Baruch Mordechai, you keep doing what you're doing. Don't be hurt by them. Even though it's a little funny.
No, I didn't mean to laugh, I'm sorry.
Poor Baruch Mordechai. I'm beginning to feel sorry for him. The main thing was, my son, and Baruch Mordechai didn't feel sorry for himself. He continued day in and day out to learn, again and again and again, although he didn't understand a thing. This went on for many years. By now, the Chasam Sofer had passed away, and his son, the Kesav Sofer, took over. One day, the Kesav Sofer walked into the Beis HaMedrash early in the morning, and he noticed Baruch Mordechai sitting in front of his Gemara learning.
You mean, Father, sitting in front of his Gemara, swaying back and forth?
You're right, I'm sorry. Sitting in front of his Gemara, swaying back and forth, not knowing anything. The Kesav Sofer went over to him.
Baruch Mordechai, you haven't been yourself lately. Is everything okay with you?
It's okay. It's okay, Rebbe. It's not important.
If it's important to you, it's important to me. The Gemara says, "Daiga belev ish." If there is worry in the heart of the person, yisachena lacherim. Tell me, what is troubling you? What is troubling you?
I'm 20 years old now, and I've been speaking to various different shadchanim. I was hoping to be zeicher to be able to get married and build a bayis neman v'Yisrael, but unfortunately, it hasn't been going very well. You see, it's hard for me to say it, but you see,
I know, people are saying, who wants a son-in-law like you? Because they say you're an Am Oretz and you don't know anything. And they don't appreciate your golden heart. They don't appreciate how you help everyone when they're in trouble. They don't appreciate how you sit and try. They don't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts hours, not pages.
Rabbi, I don't look down at them.
I don't either. They just don't understand how chashiv it is by Hashem if someone tries.
Rabbi, will I ever be able to get married?
My father once discussed this with me, and I have something to tell you. Chazal tell us, Mishana Mokim, Mishana Mazel. If a person changes his place, he changes his luck. I want you to leave Pressburg.
Leave Pressburg, Rabbi? But I love Pressburg. I grew up over here. It's my hometown. It's your father was here, and everything in my life is Pressburg. To me, Pressburg is a holy city.
Thank you for the compliment. But I want you to travel to a holier city, to Yerushalayim.
But Rebbe, where do I go? What do? Who do I speak to over there?
Trust me, go, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide you to the proper place. Did he go, Ta?
He sure did. It was a difficult trip. He had to travel for many, many weeks, and there was grave danger. It took quite a bit of a serious nefesh, but he arrived in Yerushalayim. 2 o'clock in the morning, he walked in through the gates of the old city.
Where do I go? Where do I go? All I hear is my own footsteps. Ah, but I'm in Yerushalayim, I can't be scared. The Ksav Sefer told me before I left that when you're in Yerushalayim, it's like a child being under a mother's apron. The Shechina rests over here.
Still have to figure out a place where to go tonight.
Wait, who's that coming? Down a dark alley through those arches. It's a Yid. Where's he walking? Let me follow him. Where's he going? Oh, he's on his way to the Kaisel. He's sitting down. He's wearing sackcloth with ashes on his head. He's saying Tillim. It's the most beautiful Tillim I've ever heard in my life. He's crying. He's crying over the Churban Abayis. Oh, wow. It's so beautiful. It's so moving. I must follow him back. He's going over to that well. Who are those people coming? Soldiers. What are those soldiers doing? They're foreign soldiers from the different embassies.
What a boring night. Huh. Where do we always get this job to patrol these streets at night?
Hey, looky over there. There's some Jew by the well.
I think it's time that we had a little fun. Hey, Jew boy, what can we do for you?
Please, leave me alone. All I wanted is to draw some water from this well.
You can count on us to help you.
Sure, no problem, Jew. You want some water from the well? What's the problem?
I think the string isn't long enough, and it doesn't reach to water.
We'll make sure you reach the water. Let's throw him in. Pick him up.
No, put me down. Please, I'll drown.
We're going to throw him in. You wanted the water, Jew. When we say we're going to help, we're going to help. Drop him in. This is going to be fun.
Shema Yisrael, I don't know if I can survive this.
Wait! Stop! Stop! What are you doing?
Who's this monstrosity coming?
Hey, you! How's the weather up there? What happened? Your mother gave you an overdose of vitamin pills!
Put him down! Put that Yid down right now! Safely onto the ground!
Hey, put this old Jew down. This guy looks like a lot of fun. You know, we were just helping out this Jew over here. You see the string? It wasn't long enough, so we thought we were going to throw him into the water so he should be able to reach it. But it's going to be more fun throwing you into the water.
Yeah, a 600-pounder like you is going to make quite a bigger splash. Let's throw him over, boys!
Wait, wait! Before you do that, can I have that string?
What are you going to do with it?
I'll tie it to your shoe and to your shoe and to your shoe.
He tied our shoes together with the string. How is this going to save you?
I'll show you. Do you mind if I shake your hand and say goodbye before you throw me into the water?
No problem. So long.
Baruch Mordechai picked up the first soldier, who was connected to the second soldier, who was connected to the third soldier, and he began to swing all three of them around and around and around like the propeller of an aeroplane.
But he was only holding on to one.
And the other two were tied along to go along for the ride.
Put us down, please. I get car sick. I get seasick. I'm scared of heights. Put us down. Put us down. Stop swinging us around.
All right, I'll drop you into the water.
No. Anywhere but not in the water.
Anywhere but not in the water? Okay.
He let go of them.
Where did they end up, Father? Where did they end up?
Get me down from here! I'm hanging from this clothesline, upside down!
Please, get me down from here! I'm holding on to this chimney, and I'm slipping! Please, my head is stuck in this window, and I can't get it out!